Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. In Governor Murphy's State of the State address on Tuesday, he promised to take on the kind of hate most currently on people's minds in New York and New Jersey.
I will proudly sign legislation to provide additional security aid for our houses of worship and to expand the definition of and penalties for domestic terrorism. And I thank both sides of the aisle for the support, and in particular, I thank my friend Assemblyman Gary Scherer for championing this cause. Gary, thank you.
Murphy also looked inward to take on another kind of hate.
To my fellow men, we can and must do better, not just by changing... not just by changing our own behavior, but by making the conscious choice to not ignore the behavior of others. And to the women listening, we will listen and we will act.
And he took on a third kind of hate, too.
In this 401st year since the first enslaved Africans arrived on the shores of this continent, we're committed to furthering the work of the Amistad Commission and the NJEA Amistad Stakeholder Group to ensure that the African-American story is made real, not just for all of our students, but for our educators as well, through the new Amistad Journey Program.
The governor also made a promise, we'll see if he can keep it, to tackle at the state level the number one issue for many Americans nationally.
I'm directing the Department of Banking and Insurance to work with this new office to track the actual costs residents pay for the health care services that they receive. And then armed with this data, we will make smart decisions to limit cost increases and set new standards for quality and transparency.
And Governor Murphy promised to challenge an even bigger national condition, something so fundamentally American these days, he doesn't even have a plan for it yet.
So on that basis, I am creating a new task force. Government officials, academic researchers, and faith and community leaders with the specific charge to address wealth disparity from all angles and all causes. Their work will better inform our work in closing these gaps and ensure that the communities which have historically been left behind can help us lead.
No overarching plan as yet for our national inequality disgrace, but at least this for the Garden State, and it will sound familiar.
I'm going to fight every day for the middle class values that built New Jersey in the first place. It's why I am not giving up the fight for a millionaire's tax so we can ease the property tax burden. And a millionaire's tax will allow us to ease the property tax burden literally on millions of middle-class families and seniors, and it will do more to help fund our public schools. Overwhelming majorities of residents of all political stripes support this. We should too. The millionaires and corporate CEOs made out just fine in the last recession, and I assure you, they will again when the next one hits. Thanks to the federal tax system, the richest 400 Americans now pay a lower tax rate than the nation's middle class. That is the first time that has ever happened.
Governor Phil Murphy from the State of the State address on Tuesday. We will hear more clips as we go, as we welcome now Matt Friedman from Politico. He writes the daily newsletter called New Jersey Playbook. Thanks for doing this, Matt. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for having me.
Big applause for the millionaire's tax there.
Yeah, but, you know, the people who actually need to pass it, the few people who really control the direction. They were, I don't know if they clapped. I doubt it because they're not passing it. The governor is not getting anywhere near his millionaire's tax.
Really?
He's tried since he came into office, despite the legislature having passed it many times under former Governor Christie, I think at least five times, knowing that the Republican governor would veto it. Once Murphy took office, everything changed.
In the clip, we heard his three-part rationale, I would call it, for that kind of millionaire's tax. So in this context, tell me who's against it and why. His rationale was New Jerseyans want to contain property taxes, which are used to fund the public schools, but they don't want to cut their education budgets. So another way is to tax the wealthy more in this age of gross inequality and have the state do more to fund the schools. There's certainly a logic to it. So why is it that controversial?
Well, what happened is after the legislature, which has been in Democratic control for close to 20 years now, they passed after passing the millionaire's tax several times, Senate President Sweeney, as soon as Murphy was elected, he said, well, the first thing I'm going to do is pass the millionaire's tax. But then the Trump tax cuts went into effect. Tax plan went into effect. The SALT deduction, the state and local tax deduction, was limited to $10,000. New Jersey has very high property taxes, highest in the nation. And so that adversely affected, or at least so the logic goes by the Senate president, the wealthiest New Jerseyans, because they're going to be paying more in property taxes. And he didn't want to hit them with sort of a double whammy on taxes by also increasing the income tax on income over $1 million, which is an important distinction. It's not just everybody who makes more than $1 million hits a higher tax rate. It's the tax rate applies to every dollar over $1 million.
Only to the dollars above $1 million in a given year.
Correct. But the Senate president's rationale, his stated rationale, was that this was just too much of a hit for these people and it could chase them out of state. And then New Jersey loses more tax revenue than ever. I think there's also, there's some amount of skepticism about that rationale, considering that they tried this again and again and again, granted before the SALT deduction was capped. There's a lot of political fighting over countless issues between the Senate president and the governor, despite their shared party. And this is often viewed through that prism.
Listeners, New Jersey listeners in particular, after 2 years with Governor Phil Murphy in office, how's he doing, according to you? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. How's Governor Murphy doing for your city or town, your industry, or anything else? Or react to anything from the State of the State address? We played six clips so far with more to come. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, with Matt Friedman from Politico, New Jersey. You wrote in the playbook that Murphy used much of the speech to contrast his administration's ideas with those of his predecessor, obviously Republican Governor Chris Christie. We heard some examples of that in those clips. And the speech was so progressive, I guess, that I see the veteran Star Ledger columnist Tom Moran, who I think we could say is not exactly Sean Hannity in his politics, wrote a column today called Comrade Murphy Steers Hard Left, Giving GOP an Opening. So I know you saw that because you flagged it in the playbook. What struck Tom Moran as so hard left that it might give rise to a new class of swing voters?
I think in his column he didn't specify a single thing as the most overarching, but I think the fact that there was no sort of appeal to middle-class property taxpayers, or at least not a big appeal to that. And, property taxes again and again are the number one issue in New Jersey, and there was no unified big plan.
Except that the millionaire's tax, as we just discussed, is that, isn't it?
Right. Well, there's some, we can talk about where that money would go and be directed, but of course money is fungible. So if you have more money in the budget, you do have more money for potential tax relief.
But you're saying it's fungible. So even though Governor Murphy said so in the clip we played, it's not necessarily going to go to hold down property taxes and fund the local schools.
I've got to review my budget notes. There are certain funds that certain things are dedicated for. But like I said, everything is fungible. If you got more money in one fund, you've got more money that's freed up in other places. But I think it was the lack of a unified, cohesive message, really targeting suburban middle-class people who are concerned about taxes. Because certainly, you know, a number of taxes have been raised in New Jersey. There's been a lot of attention to progressive issues. His argument is that Murphy is really not paying attention to the sort of the suburbanites that we often think about when we think about New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, also when we talk about Moran, I think, you know, the columnist, his politics are generally liberal. But you also have to take into account that he's very pro-charter school, very anti-teachers union generally in his columns. And Murphy is very much aligned with the teachers union. So Moran's columns have never been particularly positive about Phil Murphy.
David and Elizabeth, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Good morning. I've called your show before. I'll find my calls annoying. I'll get off. No, I'm just great show on your topic. I'm fed up or complaining or frustrated about New Jersey Transit. Today is Thursday. For the fourth day in a row, my 7 a.m. bus showed up at 7:40. I work at a school. I get in at 8:30. The principal doesn't want to hear me being late. And I'll get off the phone. Great show. I just think the governor is afraid of New Jersey Transit. And that's all I got. Great show.
David, thank you very much. Well, he did mention New Jersey Transit in the speech. I didn't pull that clip. He didn't seem to get very specific about how he's going to fix it.
No, he didn't. And one of the big controversies is over New Jersey Transit's funding sources. And, you know, the legislature has been calling for more dedicated revenue to New Jersey Transit, for more increases, both administrations. And there's a story in the Record detailing this. It's been detailed before. Both administrations have diverted funds from other sources to fund New Jersey Transit. And the agency under both Phil Murphy's administration and Chris Christie has dipped in extensively to its, you know, capital funds, which are meant for long-term projects and everything, to pay for immediate needs. New Jersey Transit really did see its decline under Christie. The problem is that, you know, under Murphy, it really has been slow to pick up. A lot of people feel that it's where they left it. New Jersey has a huge number of commuters, obviously, right next to New York City. It's a big issue, and it's not an easy boat to turn around.
Joe in Rockaway, New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joe.
Thank you for the opportunity. One thing I'd say as far as Governor Murphy goes is he's doing a good job because he hasn't hurt us. And in today's political climate, I think that's a wonderful thing.
The blessing of low expectations. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Like the doorman on that show back in the 70s. Anyway, the thing that concerns me is when I hear the argument that the millionaires may move out of the state, I'm not a millionaire, and I have many middle-class or lower-class friends, and they're planning on moving out of the state because of property taxes. It seems to me that millionaires tax, they could work a way to have millionaires contribute more to the state and not be afraid of them moving out. If they're going to move out, it's not about taxes. It's about other issues, going south, being where their companies are. It's not about taxes. I think that's a bugaboo. So anyway, that's my point.
Joe, thank you very much. That's an interesting point, Matt, especially when he says it's his middle-class friends who are moving out of the state because the property taxes are so high, never mind millionaires who would move out because they get an income tax hike. I mean, I think the assumption that we generally start with is it's the millionaires who have the ability to move out of the state and the middle-class people are kind of stuck. He's saying he's got friends who are going anyway.
Well, there's definitely, and has been for decades, middle-class people leaving for various reasons, property taxes among them. One of the things that kind of gets lost in this, I mean, a millionaire's tax, we're talking about, I think, between $400 and $500 million in revenue if the governor's millionaire's tax. You know, that's pretty much a drop in the bucket. It's not going to make a huge difference mm-hmm. in anyone's property tax bill. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of factors that go into why New Jersey is an expensive state. It's not only property taxes. And one of the reasons our property taxes are so high is because we fund education and, you know, local services through these. A lot of other states have various other taxes. Towns are allowed to establish local taxes. In New Jersey, for the most part, with a few exceptions, they're not. And there's all kinds of reasons why our property taxes are so high. But the main reason is that we're funding, you know, we depend on so much on that one source of revenue. We don't really spread it around. So it's more noticeable in New Jersey, but also it's a high cost of living state. And that's not all to do with taxes. People often talk about that the cost of living is driving people out of New Jersey. Well, it's next to New York City. not a cheap place, you know. And while Philadelphia compared to New York City is certainly not expensive, it's another major metropolitan area that bookends the other part of the state. It's an expensive place to live because of where it's situated. It's also got a very highly educated workforce and expensive industries, and that drives up prices too. So, you know, property tax isn't the only thing in terms of expenses that drive people out of state.
And Luz in Newark, I think, is going to further this same part of the conversation. Hi, Luz, you're on WNYC.
Hi, thank you for having me. Actually, I'm originally a Florida resident, and I moved up to New Jersey. And yes, the schools are phenomenal, and I don't see why the schools have to suffer or downgrade, but just because they're laying off taxing the millionaires, I don't see how middle class is being taxed after our first million. We're also being taxed. We have the same taxes, but they're not having the same consideration for the middle class.
Do you, of course, I have no idea what your life circumstances are, but you moved from Florida, which is probably the most famous state that people allegedly move to avoid a state income tax. Donald Trump for one. And so, I don't know, how does it strike you?
Well, I'm surprised in Florida what's going on. You know, education is going down the drain, for sure. I had a son that was intelligent in math, but it took 2 years to get him tested for gifted, just because there was one social worker for three schools. And each school had an average of 1,000 students. I came here to the school system in New Jersey, and it's phenomenal. But again, why does it have to lay on the burden of the backs of the middle class? Like I said, they're not getting taxed after their first million.
Mm-hmm. Luz, thank you so much. Please call us again. On the other side of this argument, Eddie in Ocean County. You're on WNYC. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Brian. Thanks very much for the opportunity.
Sure.
Brian, I'd like to throw out there that an opposite argument, that millionaires should pay less taxes. It seems to me that the millionaires are the ones who are investing and creating jobs. And New Jersey finances are not improving. The state deficit continues to increase as taxes increase. And I think, like your guest said, I think people are more prone to move out in time as the taxes go up. I just wanted to throw that thought in there.
Eddie, if you are concerned about the state, state government deficit, why would you have the people with the most ability to pay taxes pay less?
Because I think if the millionaires invest more, create more jobs, if that will create a greater base of taxpayers.
Eddie, thank you very much. Matt, it's pure trickle down. I don't know if anybody believes that anymore.
Yeah, and I got a dispute about, you know, the state finances not improving, and what you consider a deficit versus what technically is a deficit. The economy's good. Naturally, revenue collections have been better than previous years over the last couple years. You could attribute that to anything. I also want to clarify something with the previous caller said. I mean, millionaires are paying taxes on money over $1 million. The question is whether or not their income over $1 million, every dollar over $1 million earned, whether the tax rate on that income increases. That's what we're debating here.
Right. In fact, related to all of this, here's something I thought was interesting from the speech. Despite the governor's focus on income inequality and wealth inequality, the governor heralded something that President Trump also likes to take credit for: rising wages and record low unemployment happening now.
They only happen when we work together and when we put the people we serve ahead of everything else. We didn't achieve this, by the way, despite our progressive economic policies. We achieved this because of those policies.
Huh. Now, this reminds me of the 90s in New York City, Matt, when the economy was booming and both Democratic President Clinton and Republican Mayor Giuliani took credit, one citing liberal policies, one citing conservative policies. Now we have Trump and Murphy. Is there anything you can cite as progressive state policy under Phil Murphy that, as he claims, has helped these last 2 years as opposed to just national trends?
You know, there's nothing off the top of my head in terms of when it comes to the unemployment rate or the number of jobs added in New Jersey. it always follows national trends. Sometimes it lags behind the nation. I can say that New Jersey's GDP growth has certainly been some of the lower in the nation. It's been pretty close to the bottom, I think, but it's still grown. The state has added jobs. The state was adding, you know, under Obama, Christie would claim credit for jobs added. Now under Trump, Murphy's doing the same. I think the economy is a complicated thing. Everyone, you know,
And on wages going up, is there a state minimum wage hike that took effect under Murphy or anything else?
Yes, they did pass a law, and wages just went up this January to $11 an hour for most workers. They're going to eventually go up to $15 an hour, I believe, by 2024. So there is the minimum wage hike. That's pretty new. You know, like I said, these are, you know, the economy is a very complicated thing. It's very easy to claim credit for good numbers when they're happening under your watch. You know, I think you'll also see them under Christie. You know, he came in during the recession. The economy had its ups and downs. He would often trumpet, you know, news releases if the unemployment rate went down, but we lost a number of jobs that same month. You'd see one number get trumpeted and the other number downplayed. And you're seeing the same thing under Murphy. Whatever the better number is gets trumpeted.
This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. We are New York and New Jersey Public Radio, where we have a few minutes left with Matt Friedman, who writes the New Jersey Playbook for Politico New Jersey every day, as we review Governor Murphy's State of the State address from Tuesday with all the impeachment news and everything else that's been dominating. You might have missed it, but we pulled 9 clips from that speech this morning, and we're cutting through some of them and the themes. We have 2 more clips to go. And the governor also touted something that would sound pretty wonky and bureaucratic in most states, but in New Jersey, it's really a thing.
Today, we have more shared service agreements under consideration than ever before, 980 at last count, and still more coming in.
Shared service agreements, a euphemism, I guess, for the dirty word consolidation in a state with 600 municipalities and school districts in a relatively small geographic area. Remind us, Matt, this is one of the reasons for high property taxes. Every few square miles of New Jersey has its own government.
It definitely doesn't help. I mean, home rule is a big tradition in this state. You have the 4th smallest state in area. We're fairly large in population, but we're tiny in area. And within that area, you got all these different overlapping governments. You have 21 counties. You have 565 municipalities. You have, I don't have a number off the top of my head, how many independent authorities, commissions, all this other stuff. Just so much government, and certainly that's been cited over the years as one way you can achieve property tax savings. But just by combining functions doesn't necessarily mean you're going to make things cheaper. I think there's one notorious case where Northern Hudson County merged all its fire departments, but for political considerations, you had all kinds of fire chiefs and everything getting the same amount of money, getting same jobs, and it didn't really wind up saving any money. So it really needs to be done in a fashion that actually saves money. But certainly the number of shared service improvements, I believe that is true. They have increased under Murphy. He did put 2 people in charge of encouraging that more. And property taxes have risen at a somewhat slower rate under Murphy than in recent years. I don't think that's attributed directly to that. That's probably more, you know, just a function of a growing economy generally.
And here's a clip of the governor acknowledging something that has not gone so right in the state, something our own New Jersey Public Radio managing editor Nancy Solomon has lifted the veil on big time in her reporting.
We now know that some companies received tax credits they did not deserve and took credit for jobs they did not create. They didn't just hurt their own reputations, by the way. They hurt the reputations of the many more good corporate actors who have done exactly what they said they would do.
So, Matt, can you explain, as you understand it, how New Jersey taxpayers are subsidizing companies for not creating jobs?
Well, the question, essentially, we enacted a vast expansion of New Jersey's corporate tax incentive program in 2013. And the argument is that a lot of companies already situated in New Jersey and paying taxes here falsely claimed that they were going to leave the state if they did not get tax incentives. There's a lot of questions about whether they really intended to leave the state. So they got a cut in the taxes they had in their corporate income tax and in the taxes they have to pay. And there's some cases where maybe they were going to leave the state. There's other cases where companies came in and said our location in this into New Jersey from another state is dependent on these taxes. Now, they weren't already paying taxes here, but there's a difference with the companies that were here and were paying taxes and got a cut in their taxes after threatening to leave. There's a lot of questions about how serious those threats were, and also that politically connected people essentially wrote the laws to get their own companies and their own organizations tax breaks.
Politically connected people like the Southern Jersey Democratic power broker George Norcross, who Nancy has reported on so much, but the governor, I noticed, did not mention by name.
He didn't mention him by name, but he really didn't need to. Everybody knows what he's talking about. And I believe today we're actually, I'm expecting to see a report from a task force the governor formed last year that has really dug up a lot of dirt on George Norcross, who's also, you know, a big political adversary of the governor. And I expect that they're going to put out another report, a big report today. So it will be interesting to see what information, what new information that has.
Let's take one more call. And Joe in Fairview is calling about something that the governor did not mention in the state of the state. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Brian. How are you today?
Good. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm a longtime listener and a first-time caller.
Thanks so much.
And thank you for getting through. And yes, I've been displaced since August of 2017 from affordable housing HUD building in Fairview, New Jersey, with my fiance, who's a senior citizen, and we're both disabled. I wrote to the governor recently and asked him if they could provide us with any kind of assistance, and I got a two-sentence memo with a lot of phone numbers on it. And you would think after over 20 months of being displaced that you'd get a little bit more maybe sympathy from the governor's office. But I never hear this governor talking about affordable housing, and it's such a bad problem in New Jersey right now. And with New York sending over some of their homeless to live in apartments that are affordable in this area is not helping the matter either.
Joe, thank you so much. I hope your own situation improves there, and thank you for your good wishes.
Thank you very much. God bless.
So Matt, he's right that while the governor talks about property taxes, which is a New Jersey obsession, he didn't mention gentrification, which is also pushing housing costs up for obviously Joe in Fairview and so many other people.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about gentrification, but in general, affordable housing is a huge issue in New Jersey. Like I said, there's a number of reasons why this is such an expensive state. It is affordable housing in New Jersey is a decades long controversy. There are mandates for towns to have affordable housing, but towns fight those mandates on overdevelopment grounds. It's an incredibly complex issue, and you could spend months reading about it.
As we do, spend months talking about gentrification on both sides of the Hudson and elsewhere on this show. So one final thing, Joe raised something that the governor did not touch in his State of the State, and I'll raise one other, unless I missed it, but I don't think I did. Governor Cuomo in the New York State of the State did mention it. It's marijuana legalization. And Cuomo even proposed a unified system for New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Pennsylvania. Were you surprised that Murphy, who is an advocate, didn't go there?
Somewhat surprised, but in terms of marijuana legalization, it's going to be up to voters in November. The ballot question is already passed. It will be there. People will decide. So, frankly, they've given up on the legislative legalization of marijuana. So in terms of laying out his agenda and talking about what they want to do, it's not exactly something that's going to have to be there. So that's part of the reason.
I see. It's going to be on the ballot in November.
It's going to be on the ballot, but then there's the whole issue of how do we implement it, and that's going to be left up to lawmakers and the governor.
Last question. Does your dog bark every time the doorbell rings?
Yes. He does. He's a good watchdog.
That's so. Okay. Good direct answer. Matt Friedman from Politico, who writes the Daily New Jersey playbook worth subscribing to, if because it's free for one thing. If you want to follow New Jersey news, in a nutshell, New Jersey playbook on Politico New Jersey and in the email newsletter. Matt, thank you so much for all this time today.
Thank you, and I'd also like to thank my dog, Pancho.
Pancho, good boy.